Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. We're going to read chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and in the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now go down to verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. And what a blessing it is. Lord, help us to meditate on it. Help us to think about it. Help us to ever have it ever before us, Lord, because it will give us the faith that we need. It will give us the courage that we need to do all that you have called us to do. I pray for each person here tonight. Please meet those needs that were requested. And I pray for each person that you'd bless them. And they would go home encouraged and blessed and challenged, Lord, to do more for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we see here that Joshua, we pick up in this historical event where Joshua was taken over for Moses. Moses had come to this point, and because of some things that he did, he wasn't able to go into the promised land. And only Joshua and Caleb at this point, from those that were 21 years and older, are the only ones going into the promised land. And so Joshua is given the reins. He's going to be the commander here to take over and take the people in there. So God commissions him to go. In verse number 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. I don't want you to stay where you're at. I know that there's some that have their land already, but I want you to rise and go over and take the land that I've been telling all the way back to Abraham, that this is the land that I'm going to give you. And so he's commissioned them to go and take the land. And there's three things I notice about this commission. First of all, he has the authority to give the commission, and he gives it to Joshua. He doesn't tell, Joshua has the authority to take the land because the creator and sustainer of the world says, I give you this land. So with the commission comes the authority. Second of all, with the commission comes the boundary. In verse number 4, he says specifically, this is the boundaries that I want you to stay within. They can't go back to Egypt and take that land. They need to stay within the boundaries that God has given them. So the commission comes with authority and the boundaries. And lastly, it comes with a promise. And the promise says in verse number 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He says this, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Yeah. God's going to be with him all along the way so he can take courage to be able to do what God has told him to do. And so he has that promise that God will never leave him. He can go even amongst the most difficult battle when things look the worst they can possibly be. He knows that God is going to be with him. And so we see here that they have those strings. Those three things with the commission. But I notice from this passage that they're going to need three things to be able to fulfill the commission that God has called them to do. They will need courage. They will need cooperation. And lastly, they'll need continuation. And so first of all, we see here in verse number 6 through 9 that they need to be strong and of a good courage. And so they're going to need courage to be able to accomplish that which God has called them to do. Notice how when courage is not a lack of fear, but it's having more faith in God than it is in the fear that you have, and being willing to move forward. And so God points them to something very interesting here in order to give them that courage. Notice how he doesn't tell them to go, this is a physical battle that they're going to go fight, and yet he doesn't tell them to go do work out more, get stronger. He doesn't tell them to learn how to use your swords better, learn how to use your instruments and tools better. He doesn't say that at all. Where does he point them to get the courage they need to be able to accomplish the commission? He points them to the Word of God. We see here in verses 7 and 8 that he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper." So they can be prosperous if they stick with the law that God has given them. And then he says, this book of the law. We know that they have the book of the law. They have everything that's written to this point, because in Deuteronomy it talks about how it was put in the Ark of the Covenant. And so they have the writings up to this point. And we even learn later in Joshua that Joshua reads all of it to the people to give them courage to continue on amongst that. So we see that they have the Word of God. And he's saying, read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in front of you at all the times, and then you will have the courage to do that which you're called to do. And so the Word of God is going to give them the courage. Notice how he says, don't turn to the right hand or the left. Don't look for other sources of information, other sources of wisdom and knowledge. I've given you all that you need. And notice in the book of the law, when we read that, he gives them commands to obey. He reminds them of all that he has done up to this point in their life. So they know that he's already brought them out of Egypt. He's already opened the Red Sea, and already amongst very perilous times, he has done much. And that is, they need to remember those things so that they can have the courage to continue on to do the work. So we see that they need courage to be able to fulfill the commission. But in verses 10 through 16, we see that they also need cooperation. This talks about, I didn't go read it for the sake of time, but this talks about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. If you'll remember the story, they already had their land, right? They got to the Jordan River, and they got to this side of the Jordan River, and they looked around and they said, hey, this land's good for cattle. We have cattle. Can we have this land? And so Moses agreed that, yes, you can have this land, but on one condition, and you need to go, because it's going to require everyone to get the job done in the promised land. And so he tells them all to do that. So he reminds them of that. In verse number 13, he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. So they had rest. They already had the land that they needed. They already built their homes and built their corrals and everything set. They had rest. But he reminded them that there is still a job to do. There is still much land to be possessed. They still needed to accomplish all that God had called them to do. And so they all needed to cooperate to get the job done. And thankfully, and as our example here, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were noble, and they said, oh, we didn't forget. We will do. And that's what they said in verse number 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. They realized that it would take cooperation in order to get the commission done that God had called them to do. And so they were going to cooperate. And so they are noble to cooperate and get the job done. Then lastly, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 13. And we see, in order to fulfill the commission that God had called them to, that they would need continuation. We see here in verse number 1, it says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So it requires continuation. See, Joshua, this is 12 chapters have been completed of the story of Joshua going into the promised land and all that they had accomplished, but they hadn't completed the task. The commission wasn't done yet. But Joshua is saying, he's the one that wrote this, and he says, Lord, I'm getting old. I'm getting stricken in years. And God didn't disagree with him. God says, thou art old. Thou art stricken in years. But there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. And so we see here that it requires continuation. No matter what age he was still alive and he still had the strength. And God says, you need to continue. You need to continue until the job is done. Until the commission is complete, you need to continue the work. And so we see here, this historical event teaches us a lot, and we'll see the similar things in the commission that you and I have been given. Because, church, we have been given a commission. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We have a commission, church, and God has given us the same thing. He has the authority to tell us to go into all the world. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." So when Jesus says, "Go into China," we can go into China, even if the Chinese government says, "We don't want you in here." If Jesus says, "Go to India," go to all nations. He says, "Go to India." If the Indian government doesn't want us there, we can still go there, because the one who has all authority has told us that we can go. And so we have the authority to complete the commission that God has called us to. But next, he gives the boundaries as well. Notice he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The job is not done until every single nation has the gospel, until every single nation has been preached to and the gospel has gotten there, and they have churches planted there, because it's not just about going there and sharing the gospel, it's about planting churches, because you can't do all of the commission without a church. Because there needs to be discipleship. Notice how it says, "Teach all nations, then baptize them, and then teach them to observe all things." The church is where that happens. The local church is where that happens. So we need to plant churches all over this world, because that's the commission that God has called us to. And then next, we get the same promise that they had back then. God says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, I would not want to go to China. I would not want to go across the street without Jesus. But I'm thankful that he goes with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can go wherever he sends me and know that he is with me, and he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. He will never leave you or never forsake you. If you are born again here tonight, you have that promise. And we know that God is not a man that he can lie. He cannot lie. Amen. And he will not lie. He tells you that he will go with you always. So we have the promise that he will be with us even till the end of the world. But we need the same thing that they need. We need to have the courage to fulfill the commission. We need to have cooperation to get the commission done. And we also need continuation. So first of all, we need to have courage to get it done. We know that faith, like I said at the beginning, is that courage is not the lack of fear. I have fear. I still fear when I go up and share the gospel with some. But as I do it, I step forward in faith, knowing that Jesus is going to be glorified. No matter what the outcome is, I know he will be glorified. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 4. We have the Word of God, and as we read the Word of God, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving forward in faith, even though we fear what we have to do. And the problem that we have today with getting the gospel to the world is that we lack courage to take the gospel across the street. We lack courage to take the gospel to those around us. And we need courage. And how we get that courage is from the Word of God, the same way. We need it even more so. We're not fighting a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we know that spiritual battle can only be won through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need that. But we can have, the Word of God can encourage, give us the courage we need. This is just one verse that challenges me and helps me when I go share the gospel with people. It says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." We see that no matter what happens when you share the gospel with someone, even if you're reproached, God is glorified. But what if they get saved? What rejoicing. So you're happy even if you get reproached, but even more so when they get saved. And people will get saved, because we know that God is in the saving business. He came to this earth so that people would get saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He came and died for every single person on this earth. He wants them to be saved. We talked in the presentation that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We have a commission. We are all supposed to be laborers. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We see in the Bible here, and as we go to the Word of God, we will see that God wants to save people. God came and died. He's called us to be the ones moving forward to get the gospel to Him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, it says in verse number 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ."
Yeah.
That's not just for the pastor. That's not just for the missionary. That's for every single person. If you are born again here tonight, you have not had your sins imputed on you. That means that you now have the righteousness of Christ on you instead of your sins. Then you are to be an ambassador. That's the us and the we that it talks about there. The us and the we is not a pastor or a missionary. It's every single born-again believer. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to represent Christ in this world. And so we need courage to move out and share the gospel with our neighbors. Go across the street and hand out tracts. I encourage you. I found that if I don't have tracts on me, I can't hand them out.
Amen.
So I would encourage you to have tracts on you. Have them ready, always ready. Not that I'm not 100%, but I try to be 100%. But if I don't have them with me, I cannot hand them out. So I would encourage you to be ready with a gospel tract. Be ready to share your testimony. Every single person that is born again here tonight, you have a testimony. I was talking to Mrs. Bledsoe before the service, and we were rejoicing the fact that every single one of us, no matter what our background is, no matter if we were saved out of years of rebellion, if I was 50 years old and all I did is drink and do all kinds of horrible things, and then I got saved, I don't have any more of a testimony than someone that was born again at 5 years old. Because every single one of us is dead in our trespasses and sin until the day that we get saved. Until the day that we are no longer under the power of darkness, but we are under the power of His glorious light. It's a glorious thing the day that you get saved. And so we need to tell people that you are an ambassador for Christ. That means you represent Him to this world. And He wants us to get that out there. So we need to have courage to get the gospel out. We need to step forward. We need to be reading the Word of God. The more I read the Word of God, the more courage I have, and the more I want to share it with people. You know, I was reading the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and I just got so excited. You know, the conversation that Paul is having, the letter is written to those that are disputing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, if He is not alive, then we are in vain. He says, I might as well let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But he doesn't say that. He's saying, why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage of me if the dead rise not? If Jesus Christ isn't risen again, why do I do all these things? But as I read the Word of God, I realize He is risen again. And so we need to go take that gospel. And that's what, in the context of that very passage, he says in verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It makes me realize I need to get the gospel out. That was written 2,000 years ago, and still the gospel is not in every country in the world. It's to our shame. We need to get the knowledge of God to every single country in the world. And the neat thing, I love the Word of God, because it's not out of guilt and shame that we do it. We do it because He has risen again. We do it because He saved us, and we have the most wonderful truth in all the world. We have the fact that we serve a risen Savior that's wanting to save you from your sins. And they need to hear that truth. The Chinese people need to hear that truth. Those here that have not been in church before need to hear that truth here in Kingsport, Tennessee. And we are God's ambassadors. So we need courage in order to fulfill the commission. But next, we need cooperation. We need to be all involved. Every single one of us needs to be involved in getting the gospel. We need to cooperate. If every single one of us would get busy about handing out tracts and inviting people to church, we could fill up this church auditorium. If every single one of us would get busy about praying for missionaries and praying for countries, we could get the gospel to the world in this generation. You know, we're responsible for this generation of Christians. We can't worry about what happened in the past, and we can't worry as much about the future. We need to worry about the generation that's alive right now. Now, of course, we need to be training men right now. I'm so grateful. I love your program, The Warriors. That's right. We need warriors for Christ. We need warriors because we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we need to get the gospel to the world. And so we need warriors. And so we do need to be training the next generation, certainly. But that's our responsibility. And so we see here that we need to cooperate, every single one of us. needs to be involved. Notice how when it was talking to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, it talks about how they had rest already, but that they still needed to get involved. Well, each one of us that's born again here tonight, we have rest. We know where we're going when we die. Praise the Lord. I know exactly where I'm going when I die. I have rest. But that doesn't mean that I should sit back and relax and let people go into a Christless eternity. I need to get busy. I have eternity to rest. Right now there's work to be done. And so each one of us, we need to cooperate. And then lastly, we need continuation. In 1 Corinthians, in that same passage, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, it's one of my favorite passages. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, so as he's concluding that passage, I was just telling you about the fact that Jesus is risen again, and we ought to serve him. I'm willing to even go against the difficulties of, I stand in jeopardy every hour. I fought with beasts at Ephesus. I'm willing to do all that because Jesus is risen again. And then he says, therefore. Why is the therefore, therefore? Because Jesus is risen again, and so we have a job to do. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Many of you may have been serving the Lord for many, many years, but we need to continue. We may feel just like Joshua did. I'm old. I'm stricken in years, but there's still much work to be done. Every single one of us can be involved in world evangelism. Every single one of us can be involved in getting the gospel. Here, it's all of us can hand a track out. All of us can pray for when outreach happens. All of us can pray for the young warriors that are learning the Bible over there. All of us can pray and ask God to bring more people to the church, those that have never heard the gospel, because your pastor works hard to get the message out every single week. And the church should be full so people can hear the life-giving words from the Bible each and every week. And so we can all be involved in that. Every single one of us can pray. There's no limitation to that. Maybe we can't do some other things, but we all need to be involved. So we need continuation. And so as we think about that, I hope that challenges you tonight that we have a commission, church. And I know you know that, and I thank you for all that you're doing for World Evangelism. And I see it on the wall back there that you guys, you're all involved. Brothers and sisters, you're involved in getting the gospel of the world, but we must continue doing that. We got to have courage, every single one of us. I know that it's difficult sometimes to get up and share the gospel with those around us, or maybe we have a huge busy schedule and it's hard to get to outreach, but all of us have a job to do, so we all need to be involved. We need to have the courage. We need to cooperate. And lastly, we need to continue. We can't give up, not until the day that we die. We can all do something. We can all be involved. And if we all get involved, I think we can reach this world, this generation, in our lifetime. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word tonight. I pray, Father, that you would bless your word, Lord. I pray that you would challenge your people. I pray that you would encourage each one of us. I know it is tough at times to go and take the gospel to our neighbors and those around us, God, but I pray that you would challenge each one of us to do that. Father, I pray that you would help us to know that we all need to be involved, that we can't rest on this side of heaven because there's too much work to be done. There's a harvest that is plenteous out there, but there's not enough laborers. Every single one of us needs to be involved. God, I pray that you would help those that are maybe thinking, I served at one time. Oh, I used to do so much stuff, and they talk about what they used to do, and that's wonderful. I'm so excited about what they do, and it challenges me to do more, but we all need to continue in the work. And I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you would do work. If you're here tonight and maybe this message challenged you, I pray that you would get that right. Maybe you're thinking, I do lack the courage. I lack the courage to take the gospel to my neighbors. I pray that you would get that right tonight. You would say, God, I'm going to be in your word because I know that your word will give me the faith that I need to step out and share the gospel. It will give me the information I need to share the gospel. I pray that you would get that right and say, I haven't been reading your word. No wonder I don't have the courage. No wonder I lack the courage I need to take the gospel to those around me. I pray tonight you would say, I'm going to start. I'm going to have a plan to read the Bible every single day. I'm going to have the plan to read systematically through the Bible so that I can be emboldened to do more for Christ. Maybe you thought, you know, that was the pastor's job, that's the missionary's job, to work on getting the gospel to the world. But tonight you realize, no, I need to cooperate. I can't just rest and sit back and not do my job. I need to be involved. I pray that you would come forward and get that right, that you would say, no, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be involved. I'll start praying more. I'll have a systematic way to pray for those that are going out on outreach. I'll be involved in that. Or maybe lastly, you thought, you know, I used to serve the Lord, but I thought it was my turn to rest. And you were convicted about that. I pray that you would say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get involved somehow. I'm going to ask Pastor how I can be more involved in getting the gospel around here and around the world. Thank you for your time tonight. I pray, God, that you would bless each person here. And I pray that you would do the work in their hearts that you seem fit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.